Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through His Son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
Amen. As you grab your seat, can you just celebrate the person beside you? Hallelujah. Happy post-tribe fest. Amen. Come on, I need some more excitement. Happy post-tribe fest, Abuja. Some of us are still in day 7 of tribe fest. But how many of us were blessed by tribe fest? Thank God. Hallelujah. God is faithful, isn't He? So many testimonies. People are still sending testimonies this weekend. In fact, someone just shared with me a personal testimony this morning as well. Really excited about what God is doing in our house. And I pray He will continually do more in Jesus' name. Now, like I said, Tribe Fest for us is not just an event. We were not bored and we're like, how can we burn millions of naira? Do you understand? We put together that experience by the grace of God so that we can impact our church, this city, and this nation. Hallelujah. So that was what Tribe Fest was about. And we're trusting that the Lord will do infinitely more through our obedience in Jesus' name. So Tribe Fest, the event may have been over, but the experience must continue. Glory to God. I said the experience must continue. Amen. So we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. We believe that God's power is still resident on the inside of us. So we will move in obedience. We will move in obedience and be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Till that testimony of Acts 2:43, where it says that the people were filled with awe because of the signs and wonders that were done through the hands of the apostles. So that is going to be our testimony in Jesus' name. The job of the pastor is to make everyone know that they are ministers. That language, that religious language of seeing just the person in front of you with the microphone and on stage as the minister, that is not the New Testament teaching. The New Testament teaching is this, that everyone seated here, all of you have access because Jesus died for you. And as many of you believe, you have been what? Called into the family of God. You have been what? Brought into sonship. And as many as led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And as sons of God, the earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The earth is waiting for you to show up. Are you with me? This city, Nigeria, is waiting for you to show up. Glory to God. So we think often that let them do it. Let them do certain, let the pastor do this, let the prophets do this, let the teacher do this. Meanwhile, the offices of the Spirit are to train you and equip you for the work of ministry. So every one of you, you are a minister. Tell your neighbor you are a minister of Christ. Tell the person you ignored you are a minister of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Which now brings me to the conversation we're going to be having today. How many of us were around for the panel session for King and Country? How many of us were blessed by it? You know, those are men of God, people who love Jesus, but they are actively participating in politics, governance, and nation building in one way or the other. And even myself, I was very much educated by that panel session. And I'm hoping it's a conversation that we'll continue having in one form or the other. So today we had, in fact, I was supposed to start a season 2 of Spiritual Intelligence post, you know, Pentecost Sunday last week. But because we missed the panel session for New Frontiers, which is a conversation on business, career, and politics, and we said we're going to do it this week. But because of the date of June 12th, we said we're going to just speak a bit to our nation. Hallelujah. And just talk about what for king and country means. So our brothers last weekend, they talked about the practical aspect, right? But I want to kind of like give a spiritual angle, a scriptural angle to for king and country. So I'm yet to see someone that is continuously and actively always happy with Nigeria. Even my 1 year old. Why? Because when they see power, she knows that Cocomelon should be showing on TV. But when it's seized, she starts to shout or cry, or you understand? But most of us we have this anger that we keep carrying because Nigeria will show itself in one way or the other. Last week, we had an amazing service. The Spirit of God was in this place. People were impacted. But unfortunately, our brothers and sisters in a Catholic church in Owo, Ondo State, were being murdered. The same time you and I were fellowshipping here. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know, maybe someone will correct me. I've not seen anyone claim responsibility. But still, how is it that worshippers doing nothing, worshiping Jesus on a Sunday morning, just like you and I, walk into a temple and hurt unarmed people? So that does something inside of us. Many of us, we numb ourselves to it because we don't want to live in that pain. We don't want to live in that anger. So another village attack or another, we just probably retweet or we like, we share, and then we move on. But there are lies behind these numbers. Are you with me? Are you listening? I said there are lives behind these numbers. I mean like families, uncles, aunts, cousins, siblings. These are not just numbers. They are actual people that are dying. Now, I understand that Ondo State has chosen not to celebrate Democracy Day, and you can't really blame them. And as someone that grew up in Jos, has family in Kaduna, schooled in Bauchi, I've seen people lose their lives, family, friends, because of insecurity. I've come close to losing my life several times because of insecurity in the land, insecurity in the nation. I'll be deluded to think that because I'm now living in Abuja, Nigeria will not happen to me. We see how people lost their lives at the train attack some weeks ago. The reason I want us to do for king and country is this. As elections are around the corner, we will start seeing more and more as heated conversations around who can and who will save Nigeria. But I want to tell you something. Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody. I don't care who your candidate is. Nobody is coming to save you. It is our collective decision. It is our collective obedience. It is the collective that will rise and save this nation. Now, don't get me wrong. There are wicked leaders. Are you with me? There are people that in power, when the wicked are in power, when they're on the throne, the people will suffer. Don't get me wrong, admittedly. And it's a beautiful thing when righteous people are in power as well. But what I'm telling you is that Nigeria that we think, that country that we think is in our mind, Nigeria should be like, one person cannot do it. Last weekend, Rijo Shekari was saying that we often just focus on what? The presidency. And we forgot, pardon me, we forget that there's the, what's the lowest, this thing? The counselor. Do you know, I went and I did my research and I found out my cousin is actually a counselor. So I have to get involved now because my cousin is in power. But what Rijo was the point he was trying to make was this, that we focus so much because, yes, there's a lot of power on the executive, on the presidency, right? But we forget that these people, they are still in their own way, in their own microcosm, they are leading and they are part of the collective of rulers, people we put in power. Amen. So I really think that we Christians, because often, do you know what I'm tired of hearing? That the Muslims have an agenda. I'm tired of hearing it. Yes, they have an agenda. Let's come up with our own, Abi. What's wrong with having an agenda? They have an agenda. Let's have an agenda. So, what should the Christian, what does it look like when we rise up? And because we are in a nation, Jesus has told us that we are called to be salt and light. What does it look like when we are in a position of authority? What does it look like when we are influencing? Hallelujah. Now, I just want you to understand something first. So in the first and second century, so Christianity is growing, is spreading across Europe, Asia, right? Then the apostle Paul and Peter, they are writing to the churches they are planting, and they are encouraging them. And they are facing a situation worse than what most of us are facing right now. Because at the time, the Roman Empire was in power. And the Roman Empire, do you understand that the Roman Empire ruled for 1,500 years? 1,500 years. Until its fall and its decline. So, the height of the world government at the time is the Roman Empire. And who is at the center of that? Who? Caesar, right? And they worship Rome. Caesar, all the Caesars, they are the leaders and all of that, right? So, but before Christianity enters Rome and it starts to spread amongst the elite and the politicians, high officials, eventually to one of the Roman emperors becomes a Christian. Christians were actively being persecuted. So imagine this sect that was growing from Jerusalem. Started from Jerusalem, and they say they are worshiping a guy who was crucified. And they claim that this person resurrected on the third day. And they are actively spreading from city to city. Then not just that, they are saying that this person that was killed on the cross and they claim he resurrected, they are calling him Lord. But, and that was a political issue for Rome, because for Rome, Caesar is Lord. Are you with me? So there was a saying that they would say Caesar is Kairos, that Caesar is Lord. But the Christians, they were coming and like, no, Caesar may be emperor, but for us, Jesus is Lord. And that started to, they started to paint Christians as terrorists, as political insurrectionists and the rest and the likes. So it was an issue for them. They started to actively persecute Christians. Do you know there was an emperor that would use Christians, light them up on streets as streetlights? We're not going to go into the martyrdom of Christianity in the first, second, and third century, but I want you to understand something. So the Christians were facing probably worse. Do you understand? than what we are doing. In 2020, many people, they say, government said we should shut down churches because of the pandemic. Many people were saying, this is persecution. It's not persecution. Shut up. It's not persecution. Do you know what persecution is? Our brothers in the north should tell you what persecution is. When we eventually get to heaven and we see martyrs where people were thrown into lions' den and mothers will be forced to watch their babies being fed unless they deny Christ. Let's not go into that. But we have, in 1 year, we're going to be having a new president, whether we like it or not. Who that will be, we do not know yet. But here's the thing. How comes it's almost as if the Christians, we remember 1 year to election that, there's election. We just remember, okay, there's election. Meanwhile, we've been idle for the past 8 years, 3 years. We don't even know the process, the things to do. But by God's grace, there are people that are more active in this space than me and they shared last weekend. I just want to bring kind of like a scriptural response to this. So in the height and in the midst of all that turmoil in the second century, Apostle Peter writes to Christians. And in his first letter, 1 Peter 1, do you know what he describes Christians as? Exiles. He describes them as what? Exiles. What are exiles? Exiles are outcasts, right? They are pariahs. They are persons non grata. They are what? People who are not part. They are political. What's that word we use now? Refugees, right? Exiles, people who have been cast away, sort of. But he uses this language to describe Christians. Because, and he mentions, if you read 1 Peter 1, the first chapter, he says, I'm writing to you the exiles, to the dispersion. So what happened was, as Christians started to get persecuted, there was a dispersion, they started to spread. Are you with me? So he was writing to the Christians in different cities, and he was calling them exiles. And that language is not new. Now, yes, we are Nigerians, but for the Christian, we know that we are heavenly beings first. Hallelujah. We are kingdom persons first and foremost before we are Nigerians. Now, we've seen a rise of nationalism in our country, in the world, where people celebrate their flags, their anthems, more and their constitution, and I'm talking about Christians, more than Jesus Christ. But that is idolatry. Amen. What Peter is trying to make them understand, I said, though you may be in a particular place, you are from another land. Hallelujah. You are from where? Another land. Glory to God. You are from another kingdom. So you may be under the Roman Empire. You may be in Nigeria, but we are from Zion. Amen. That's the first thing we must understand. So you seated here, whether you have your PVC, and you better do, please. You better you have your PVC, your national ID card, your passport. If you have two passports safe, you, as far as you're a child of God, you are an exile. You, as much as we're here on earth, you come from another land. You are first and foremost from Zion. Are you with me? So we are part of the dispersion. God has placed us in this nation state, I believe, to represent him as ambassadors, as people speaking on behalf of him. Hallelujah. So like I said, this language is not new. Jesus told us, and the New Testament teaching also is this, that we are in this world, but not of it. Which means we are physically present here, but we don't subscribe to the system, the values of this world. Tribe, are you following me? So we are in this world, but we are not of it. We are what? Exiles. Amen. Why? Because the earth, it belongs to the Lord, but the enemy, the devil, has power for just for a period of time. Are you with me? He just has power for a what? A period of time. Now, some people, the Christian response has been to, we don't want anything to do with this world because we are not of this world. So they have a separatist mentality. They will go and they will hide themselves. Don't touch my white. I'm too righteous. Do you understand? I've told you about the Qumran sect, which was a Jewish sect that in Jerusalem at the time, they left society entirely because they were waiting for the Messiah. So they went and they were living in caves. That's where years later we found the Dead Sea Scrolls and the book of Isaiah, a copy of the book of Isaiah. So this, the Qumran sect, in preparation for the Messiah, they went and they lived in caves. And historians tell us that they were probably alive when Jesus showed up. So in their mind, they were preparing for God so much, the Messiah to come. They missed it. So Christians have this this kind of like puritanical separatist mindset. We are not supposed to engage in politics, governance. These are systems of the world. We are not supposed to deal with it. Then there is a more recent charismatic Pentecostal approach where we are taught about dominion theology, or which dominion theology now gives birth to seven mountains of influence. Now, the issue I have with some of the teachings is this, that some people think that we need to have kind of like a military, political takeover of these mountains of arts, media, education, government, family. What are the other ones? Arts and entertainment. That we're supposed to take over. That is an issue I have. And because they say, until we take over these mountains, then Jesus will come. But that's not the teaching of the New Testament. Now, most people I know that teach this don't talk about the takeover. They talk about that we should what? Influence. Amen. So I don't think it is biblical for us to take over. Why will you take over something the enemy has built? Are you with me? God has called us to what? Influence. That's my own position. And that's what I believe. That's what I think the Bible is teaching. That's what I feel like we should be running with. That we should be salt. And we should be light. My big brother Nosa, that's the worship leader, he said something that for bitter leaf soup to be sweet, salt has to enter it. And I loved that quote so much because I feel like that's what we should live like as Christians. We complain about politics, governance, nation building as if it's their fault. Meanwhile, we have been running away from actively participating. So even though we are exiles, we have permission and liberty to participate as salt and light, because one of our calling is the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. The cultural mandate from Genesis is to what? Subdue, dominate. That is the cultural mandate. We should renew the earth. We are participating in the gospel. One of the parts, The fruit of the gospel is cultural renewal, where we build culture, we influence culture with our value system. Glory to God. So we see this in the Old Testament as well, where Jeremiah, through the Lord tells the exiles through Jeremiah that, yes, you are exiles, but you know what? Build in the land. So they were captives in Babylon, but he tells them, you know what? Build, have houses, marry. You understand? Say, I have good plans for you. Don't worry. I have good plans for you. But you know what? While you are still in Babylon, what? Marry. Build houses. Have influence. Are you with me? Amen. Now we see, and often, I was arguing with one of my brothers. I love him so much. I'm not going to call his name, but great man. We were arguing, and often in Christendom, we use Joseph, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Nehemiah, Esther, right, as types of people that are that were in power, in authority, and we use them as examples and say, oh, you're an Esther to this generation, you're a Daniel to this generation, you're a Joseph. Like, I believe all of that, and it's coming from a good place, I believe. But one of the things we forget is that these people were all exiles. We forget that. That they were exiles. Joseph was not in Egypt because he wanted to be there. Daniel was not in Babylon. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, they were not in Babylon because they wanted to be there. Esther surely did not want to be there. But God, through his purposes and intentions, through his omniscience, knows why he ordered times and seasons in that particular time to set those people in and put them in that place so that they could be what? Salt and light, so that they could influence. Amen. And the beautiful thing is that these people never forgot where they were coming from. Joseph was given a new name. Daniel was given a new name. Shadrach, Meshach, they were all given new names because the enemy will try to brand you as well in trying to bring you into his systems. He will try to brand you as his, but they never forgot who they were. Hallelujah. So, what is the extent of our influence? Do you know, there are some things I don't like saying in the Bible. One of them is, give to Caesar. As you say, imagine if we had spiritual rights to not pay taxes. No, imagine. How dare you infringe on my religious thing? Do you understand? Just imagine. But do you know what Jesus said? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Then there's another thing I don't like Paul said. Let's open to Romans 13. Amen. How many of us love the Bible? Romans 13. Okay. So, I'll be reading. It says, let every person be subject to governing authorities. Paul, you've lost me already. Let every person be subject to governing authorities. Remember, he's writing to the Roman church who is under what? Caesar. For there is no authority except from God. What? And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Will you have no fear for the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. But because of this also, you pay taxes, my goodness. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So now, let's say we have an issue with Paul. Do you understand? He came after Jesus died. He doesn't know what he's saying. Let's say that. Let's just follow me. Then Peter, the one who the Lord says, upon this rock I will build my church. Let's open to 1 Peter 2. So we are still saying, Paul doesn't know what he's saying, Abby. See, he has red passport. Yes, now he was a Roman citizen, so I imagine it was a red passport. I don't know. So from verse 13, 1 Peter 2 from verse 13, he says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors are sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Now, can we have a conspiracy theory that is somebody that is trying to grow the Roman Empire that is writing these two. But it's not. These are people who love God, who eventually paid for their lives, paid for the gospel with their lives. And they are writing these things. Verse 15 said, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Lord, even Buhari? Honor the emperor. This is the Christian, I did not come up with this. This is the Christian position. Amen. But now I know so many of you are asking, but I was part of NSAS. Are you telling me that I don't have a right to protest? You do. There is civil disobedience. And the Bible also gives us that permission. We see that in Daniel and the Hebrew boys. So what is the rule for the Christian? Anything that infringes on your, that wants to subject you, that infringes on your worship, that wants to subject you to replace Christ, that is when, because nobody is higher than God. Are you with me? So even Peter, the next chapter, here's what he says. Chapter 3, verse 15. "But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord." Amen. In your heart, honor Christ as Lord. So we may honor the emperor, we may honor the president, we may honor senators, we may give them that respect, that earthly respect. But who governs us truly is who? Is God. So in our heart, it is Christ is Kairos, not Caesar is Kairos. It is Christ is Lord, not Caesar is Lord. Amen. The constitution for us, as high as a document is, as we should respect and honor it, if it starts to enter our right to worship God, we have permission from God, no matter the cost to our lives, to not obey. Are you with me? So Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." Daniel and the Hebrew boy said, "Our Lord will save us. But even if he don't, no problem, we go." Hallelujah. So we have the right from God to disobey. Amen. But the mandate here is to what? Of honor all governing authorities. Honor all governing authorities. So you may try to redefine it. So Peter now said, honor the emperor. Honor the president. Hallelujah. I know it's hard. Hallelujah. But we should remember, this is not our home. Hallelujah. We are here for a brief period of time. And we will what? Go back to where we actually are coming from. Which is where? Which is where? Zion. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So what does it look like when the Christian is living for king and country? For king, in this case, is not the president. Jesus is our king. Hallelujah. We will have earthly kings. We should honor them. But Jesus is the one who rules our hearts. Glory to God. Jesus is our king. But then how do we live for country? It starts here. We crown Christ as king, as Lord over our hearts. Then the next step is to what? Honor all governing authorities. Hallelujah. But our future is at stake. Many of us are sad about Nigeria, sad about the happenings of Nigeria. So right now, there's this conversation, because most of us are urban people here, we're on social media. There's this push to get your PVC. To get your to participate in the elections, which is amazing, which is beautiful. And I encourage everybody in this house to please go and get theirs. And I won't go as far as encouraging you to belong to a political party. There is nothing that was worse than the Egyptian government and the Babylonian government. So whatever you think is evil, whether of these parties, do you understand, the umbrella or the, what's the other one? The broom or the wheel. What's that? It's the wheel now, right? I don't want to call their names. I don't want to give them brand integration. But you get what I'm saying? Whoever you are supporting, I want to encourage you, see, go and be part of these things. You know why? Because if we continue excluding ourselves, our voices won't be heard. Imagine if Esther had not stood up to save her people. Her uncle had to reply like, "Hey, you're robbing Fenty and you're going around going for you're robbing Fenty, you're going for every ball, you're going for everything. This is not why you're there, ma. We're in trouble." Hallelujah. We're in trouble. Wake up, Esther. Glory to God. Wake up. And she said, "It's true. If I perish, I perish." Nehemiah, many of us, especially us in this Pentecostal charismatic setting, we want this prophetic move of God before you go and participate. No, sir. We see Nehemiah. We did not see any thus says the Lord. His brother came and brought a report. The walls of Jerusalem are down. And he rose and he started to fast. He was weeping for days. And the Bible tells us that he went and asked to ask the king to give him permission to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem just because he had a burden. Hallelujah. So what part of Nigeria is paining you? Don't wait for a laying of hands or a move of God, a prophetic word. Where's that burden? Some of us may wonder, why will you go and rebuild fence? Jerusalem is the city the Messiah was supposed to come to. Hallelujah. So he was participating in what? A prophetic move that was already spoken about. So for us, God has called us to go into the world to make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. That's one. Two, we are to participate in the ministry of reconciliation, which means everybody is for Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody is from Jesus, from the north to the south to the east and the west. So I want somebody here to rise up and minister to these small boys who are cleaning our windscreen when we do not ask them. The Amajiris. Are you with me? Let it be that we'll try and solve. Now, let me also say this. Because we are in an Indomie generation, do you understand? We want things to download fast. We want pa, 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 pa. We are not patient. So we protested for 2 weeks and we thought Nigeria would change. Eh? Do you know how old Nigeria is? It's over 100 years old. Protest for 2 weeks. And you think, like, the powers that be will just... Let's just give them now. They've been retweeting. let's just allow them. Do you know what they've invested? You don't come into a strong man's house and chase him away without binding him first. Are you with me? The journey to transform our nation is a transgenerational thing. So God must move in our generation. How do we move the needle? How do we make Nigeria better for our children? That should be the conversation we should be having. Hallelujah. So our part, if Nehemiah's part is to what? Build the wall. He will build the wall. Ezra's part is to what? Bring about a revival and reformation. Do your part. Hallelujah. So we keep waiting for this move. Oh, Holy Spirit should move in our heart of our president, and we should pray for him. We'll go. Meanwhile, like Solomon said, he saw a mystery, princes walking on the road and slaves on horses, on horseback. So we keep complaining that this person is an evil person. This, why don't they give this person a chance? My guy, how now? They are hungry for it than you. Are you with me? So they won't give you a chance. They are more ambitious for it than you are. So another thing I'm praying for our generation is a burden.
So some people led the not too young to run movement, whether you are for it or they've done a bit of their part. Hallelujah. Some people are now driving a democratic education or something. That's their part. What's your own part to play? Last week, Jesus was trending and people had an issue with it. And so I'm saying, don't spread Jesus. Better have your PVC. Now, if your only response is to pray about Nigeria, you're wrong. If that's all your response is, if your entire response is to pray about Nigeria, is wrong. That's not the New Testament position as well. It is to pray and to participate as citizens. Hallelujah. So how do we participate? We participate by starting to get our PVC. Now, if all you say to is get your PVC, that's not going to solve Nigeria's problems. But it starts for there. So for the Christian, it is both actually. Hallelujah. Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, when they said Sambalat and Tobias were coming, what did they do? They strapped themselves with weapons. Say they strapped. Tell your neighbor they were strapped. Tell your neighbor they were strapped. They held weapons. Now, I'm not saying please go and buy weapons. Please, if you're on the live, I'm not saying, Pastor Jesse is not saying go and purchase weapons. But here's what I'm saying. They were informed. They used their resources. Hallelujah. They were walking. They had a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other. Hallelujah. And here's how I see it spiritually. That we pray and we participate. That we pray and we participate. We pray and we participate. Glory to God. So Nehemiah came and he told the people living in Jerusalem, hey, I believe we should rebuild the wall. And God has given me favor. They asked him how. He says, see, I have Medo-Persian. I have the king's bodyguards with me. So like, oh, that's cool. But we don't have resources. He said, don't worry. The king has sponsored it as well. But here's what I want you to do if we're going to build this wall. Everybody man your position. So there's, I think the third chapter of Nehemiah talks about different families that were building their portion of the wall. Amen. This is why I'm saying nobody is going to save Nigeria. So your own part is to build your part of the wall. Hallelujah. What are you doing to build Nigeria besides tweeting? Besides complaining, besides broadcasting rubbish on WhatsApp, what are you doing? I saw the weirdest broadcast. And I forwarded it to my friend as a way to criticize the broadcast. And he was like, thank you for sharing this. And I didn't know what to say. I would say no. Like, I just say, oh yeah, you're welcome. I'll call him later and like, bro, that's not what I meant. Because what happened was, let me just give a brief, probably maybe I've seen it. It was a broadcast, largely probably had good intentions. It was encouraging Christians about participation. But it was like this, grass to grace story, and it used the recently done political convention to encourage. It was so weird. Do you understand? Like, oh, he really wanted it, so you too, if you want it, you can have it type of thing. I was like, what's in the world? But it's my cousin that posted it to a family group, and we love our family, so. Here's the thing, guys. We have to play our part. Number one, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. We crown him King. Hallelujah. Number two, we honor. That is the position. Hallelujah. But we honor until they say we cannot worship Jesus. Amen. And that also goes into how it affects our values and the rest. Yesterday, as I was preparing for this, Eva said, are there Christians? Because I wanted to go through some historical people who have participated actively in nation building. And I noticed they were mostly European and Americans. And Eva said, there are no Christians. And we literally paused and we tried to think. Then later, I saw a reel of Dora Akunyili. And I just sent it to Eva. I was like, we found our answer. This woman, until her passing in 2014, we know the work she did. Amen? And I believe it's because she was inspired by her faith that she stood her ground. We know how there are many attempts of her lives, physically, spiritually. They tried to assassinate her several times. But she stood her ground and she made the agency what it is today. At least she took it to a standard. I mean, do you agree? Do you know the person I'm talking about? Because you agree with me? I believe she's an example. So imagine 100 Akunyelis. Imagine. She did what? Just NAFDAC, right? How many agencies do we have? I know they keep giving birth to more. But just imagine we have just 100 more. Who are not, they know that they stand for their God, that if we perish, we perish. Because of my faith, I will stand for what is right and live to a higher level of excellence. Imagine, just 100. How many Christians are in Nigeria? It's about 50 million, Abi. 50, 60. But we just imagine if we had 100. Then imagine if we had 500 occupying places of power. We need to all rise up. The goal, the rebuilding Nigeria is a collective thing. And I'm telling you, it's a transgenerational work. Hallelujah. We should move the needle. Dora has played her part. And I believe God will welcome her home and say, well done, good and faithful servant. This is my belief. Of course, God will. God is the final judge. But I believe she played her part. What is your own role? What is your own part? What is your own? How are you helping rebuild the wall? Nehemiah lists the families that were involved in rebuilding the wall. When you are talking about the people who rebuild Nigeria, is your name going to be there? Or are we just going to be headlines about the ones who complain about the nation and its leaders? So if it's paining you, which means God wants you to do something about it. Hallelujah. If it's paining, if it's hurting you, God wants you to do something about it. So bitter leaf soup, salt makes it better. Sorry, I was about to mix two idioms here. But bitter leaf soup, salt makes it better. So we enter a place. And rather than saying, this thing is not of Christ, this, of course it's not of Christ. We are called to influence it. Amen. And as many as possible, we should save. Jude 20 talks about putting your hand in the fire to save some. And I've taught in this church, I said, I want our church to smell like smoke. What does that mean? I want us to go to redeem people from the clutches of the enemy. Hallelujah. I want our people to not be afraid because we know that we are the righteousness of God. And to know that regardless, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that there is no fear, no power in heaven, in hell, on earth can separate us from the love of God. So we are boldly able to go and help ransom people from the clutches of the enemy, to reconcile lost sons back to the Father. Glory to God. What does it look like when we all collectively rise to build our nation? So it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process. It's not a one-day thing. The 2023 elections, I'm telling you, regardless of who wins it, and I pray we'll pray for God to put a righteous person or someone with his heart. Amen. We won't stop praying for that. But here's the thing. It won't stop there. We must say, okay, how can we have a plan for the next 100 years to redeem this nation? Rome was not built in a day, Abby, but it grew to what exists for 1,500 years. Do you know what 1,500 years is? It grew for 1,500. It's lead for 1,500 years. America that we love so much is just about 250 something years. Abby, I think so. How old is Nigeria? Well, the business drawing is 100 and something. Amalgamation is 1914. Abby is 100 and something years. But we've been in independence for 62. So we still have a journey to make. Of course, we would have been far better than we are. But guys, can you remember what you were thinking about Nigeria when you were 5 years old? No. Really? You're special. But here's the point I'm making. Most of us did not care much. Do you understand? But we've reached that stage now where it's affecting us. Dollar, job issue, different things affecting everybody. Diesel, entrepreneurs are crying. So Nigeria touches us. Many of us say, no, me, I don't do politics. Politics is doing you. Said me, I don't do politics. So politics is doing you. How much is Gary? How much is Kero? How much is Fuel? So if the right people, if you and I, hallelujah, rise up. Listen, Joseph, I talked about this last week when I talked about the levels of sonship. Joseph rose to the highest position in Egypt. He was made prime minister, but he did not forget who he was. When his family showed up, it was then he realized that God had put him in that position of power to save his family, but not just so that he would save his family. So that what? He will save Judah, because the Messiah was supposed to come from where? Judah. Amen. So a famine would have wiped out the 12 tribes. But he said, God, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So he went through that entire journey, not so that he could do motivational speech for us, because God was trying to redeem, to save a family that will save the entire earth. Glory to God. So God is putting you in positions of influence, positions of power, so that you can be part of this reconciliatory journey. You can be part of this cultural renewal, so that you can be part of this redemptive story that God is telling. Are you with me, tribe? Amen. So I beseech thee that we should rise to our calling. And we should build this wall which represents Nigeria. We should man our position, that wherever the Lord plants you, we should use our level of influence. We should use the level of power and authority we have to redeem Nigeria. Glory to God. Another part that many of us may not like, 1 Timothy 2. Are we there? First of all, verse 1. Then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So you're like, no, Allah now. Lord, we just pray for everybody. We pray for Nigerians. But Paul, again, he says, for kings and all who are in high positions. That we may what? Lead a peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified life in every way. Amen. Do you know, I think Jeremiah as well told the exiles to seek the welfare of the city they are in. Why? So that they can worship God in peace. Amen. So we're going to pray for a few minutes for Nigeria. And I forgot.
I wanted them to display a picture of Buhari and Osibanjo, our leaders, senators. I just forgot. So that when you're praying, you see his face. Because that is the Christian position. Amen. Tell your neighbor, pray. Can we rise? We're going to pray for our country. The first person we're going to pray for is President Muhammadu Buhari. Amen. I want us to pray. He has what, a year left? Do you know, we underestimate how much can happen in 1 year. So we're going to pray for him. And his prayer point is this. God, let him rule as God has called him, a minister of justice. So open your mouth and just pray. Say, Lord, let our president rule and reign with justice. He has 1 year left. This year hasn't even finished. And even when the elections will be done next year in February, we still have a few months before the new president will be installed. So just pray for the president. Just pray for the president. Pray for Vice President Yemi Osinbajo. Let us pray for our leaders. Pray for the Senate President Ahmed Lawan. Pray for your state senators. Pray for your state governors. Because the command here is to pray so that we can worship in peace. We can live quiet lives. Come on, open your mouth and pray, tribe. Pray, and I want you to pray boldly, pray prophetically. Pray knowing that God has given you his very words. Pray, come on. One of the lies of the enemy is to make you believe that your prayers have done nothing. I'm telling you, Nigeria would have been worse off if his children would have not been praying. Pray, tribe. Pray for this nation. Pray that peace will reign in the land. Come on, everybody in the room, just pray this morning. Come on, pray, tribe. Lord, we pray our leaders will rule with your righteousness, will rule with your justice in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every gathering that has been set up for wickedness, Lord, we disband immediately in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, any place that the wicked gather for evil purposes, we disband right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your leaders, let your rulers, the people who you have instituted, Lord, and place as our leaders this morning, Lord, may they rule and reign with your power, your authority, in justice, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you're watching online, I need you to join in this prayer. Jesus for King and Country. Ele kanama de belitisia tolo. Le kenye de banava de de. Ele kenye de mana bela do de manana nede. Ele kenini de bela kanana nama de bela. Isini miya kanana ba de biyoko. Yesetele de. In Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for a set of people. If you know you have a burden for politics, governance, and nation building, just raise your hand very quickly. Come on, raise your hand very quickly, very quickly. If you know you have a calling to politics, governance, nation building, shoot your hands up. Come on, raise it high, raise it high. Raise it high. I don't want you to come out. Everyone, just look around you. Anyone that is raising their hand, please raise your hand high. I want them to see you. Here's what we are going to do.
I want you to make at least 5 people just look around you. Please raise your hand. I want people to pray for you. Those of us around them, just place your hands on them. There are people raising your hands. Just raise your hand. Come on, there's someone in front here. Just raise your hand. At least 5 people should be praying for a group of people. Look around you. Just pray for them. Pray for them. Come on, just lift your hands. Raise your hand up. Just place your hands on their shoulders. In fact, here's what I want you to do. Listen, raise both hands, and those of us around, just hold your hands so that your hands don't fall. Just symbolic as Joshua lifting the hands of Moses. Just raise both hands, and those of us around, just help. What we are doing is uplifting them in prayer. So your prayer point is this. Say, Lord, strengthen this child of yours. Give them vision. Give them clarity. Give them vision. Give them clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. Please make sure you're praying for someone. Please make sure you're praying for someone. Please make sure you're praying for someone. Make sure you're praying for someone. Make sure you're praying for someone. Come on, make sure you're praying for someone. We are lifting you in prayers. I believe the Lord will give you vision this morning. Pray for boldness for them. Come on, tribe. Pray for boldness for them this morning. And we speak boldness, boldness over you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for boldness over you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for boldness for your son, for your daughter this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you're praying, if you're online, please just place a hand emoji. And those of us watching, let us pray over you. Just in the comments, just place a hand emoji and we'll pray over you this morning. Come on, just pray. Lord, I pray that your governing power, Lord, let them run with boldness, with vision in the mighty name of Jesus. Just one more minute. One more minute. Pray for them. Pray that the Spirit of God will rest on them. Pray for the spirit of might, the spirit of excellence, the spirit of strength. Come on, try, pray for them. Thank you, Father. Bellado, 30 seconds, keep praying. Pray. Pray. Out of your bellies will flow righteousness. Out of your bellies will flow justice. Out of your bellies will flow peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Out of your bellies, the Lord will fill you with vision and you will run with clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come on, just round up with a prayer of thanksgiving. Round up with a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you. Father, you will put these ones in positions where they will honor you, honor your word as they participate in your move in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let me say this. Please, it does not stop here. Amen. Nehemiah prayed, he fasted. Prayer did not build the walls. Are you with me? Prayer did what? Gave him favor. So I'm praying that the favor of the Lord will follow you. You need to participate. Participate, register in political parties. Learn the system. Be part of the system, and the favor of the Lord will be upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever the Lord will bless you, use your God-given influence for His glory, for the redemption of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, thank you for answered prayers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Please, one last prayer point. One of our brothers is critically ill in the hospital, Peterson. A group of us visited yesterday and he's actually unconscious.
We've prayed for him before. The Lord restored him. We're going to pray again for healing. Amen. But he also needs financial assistance. By the grace of God, I want us to raise about 600,000 naira because he's on oxygen, he's unconscious, and he's in the ICU. We're going to pray for healing, but we're going to assist him in covering his bills. Amen. So I want you to, Kelly, where are you? If you want to be part of that, raise your hand, Kelly. Everyone just look back. Just meet Kelly. And we're going to be part of assisting his bills. Please, 600,000 naira. I want us to raise this. Every 2 days, he spends what, 200,000? Every 3 days, 200,000. Peterson is our brother. He has served faithfully. And God is going to heal him in Jesus' name. So I want you to just open your mouth and just pray for Peterson. Just say, Lord, heal your son. Heal your son. Father, we thank you for healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Peterson is healed. As a matter of fact, Lord, we just pray for him and he'll be a point of contact for everyone in our ICU, everyone in our hospital. Let your healing power spread in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, heal your son this morning. Let us go as we visit him today, that we hear a good report in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Come on, open your mouth, tribe. We've seen God move this year. He's going to move again. Peterson, you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. You are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I can amada belekuna nisia lebrekede de de ye lekede de de kanana mana meledu. Peterson, you are healed of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. Your lungs function properly. Your mouth function properly in the mighty name of Jesus. Open his eyes, Lord. Fix his body. Spirit of God, resurrect his body in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing. And Lord, we just ask, if there's anybody in the room that is trusting you for healing, Lord, we just ask that you heal them this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. You are healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. You are healed of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your healing power, your healing presence in Jesus' name. 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 By your stripes, we were healed. By your stripes, we were healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for healing Peterson. In Jesus' name. We pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for healing. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we celebrate healing in the house? Healing in the house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. Lord, we pray for the children, Lord. We pray for your children. We pray for tribe treasures, Lord. They will grow to know a better Nigeria. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that they start knowing that which you are calling them to become from now. And that their parents will be resourced for stewarding them in the path that you've called them to. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.